So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game!
All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Esports Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. Don't forget, while you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, join our RSS feed and keep in touch with what we're really investigating and what's really going on in the city of Louisville and across the nation as well. You may be surprised. In the meantime, Ed Martin is off tonight. You are stuck with me for the full hour. Sorry about your luck. Ed Martin had to go do some work for that business that Barack Obama built for him. And so, you know, he won't be here tonight taking care of paying his bills, man. That's what we got to do around here. You know, we got to try to do that here someday. In the meantime, guest call-in number tonight, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334, as usual. Don't forget, you can join us in our live chat. And for you guys who are already in the queue, make sure you hit that number one on your dial pad if you want to get heard on air. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, a lot of things going on. You know, where do you even begin anymore? Seriously, where do you even begin when it comes to what issues to get involved in? It's a totally fascinating thing from the local to the national level. So we're just going to go start right here locally. One of the biggest things going on in Louisville, Kentucky, is Colonial Gardens. We have been talking about Colonial Gardens, it seems like forever now. But Colonial Gardens, Metro Mayor Greg Fisher recently said he was going to buy up the Colonial Gardens site and he was going to work it out and have it all redeveloped, blah, 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 blah. Well, the bottom line is Greg Fisher, of course, as usual, talks out his head. The Metro Council has to approve the funding. And the Metro Council really is not at this time in any kind of a hurry. Council members said at a Democrat caucus meeting last Thursday, that Todd and Jeff Underhill of Underhill & Associates were interested in trying to redevelop the 2.5-story Colonial Gardens property at the Newcut Road entrance right there off of at Newcut Road across from Iroquois Park. Well, anyway, council members do not have any immediate plans to fund this $430,000 venture, quite frankly, because they said they have yet to see a plan. They have yet to see a plan from the Underhills. You can read a story over at the CJ if you want to. And quite honestly, they're really thinking about holding off on making any decision without any proposals. You know, we have one developer here that's tied to Greg Fisher, apparently, and we'll figure that one out in the very near future. But Greg Fisher's trying to buy $430,000 for this property. He wants to buy this property outright and then give it away, once again, to somebody to develop. Now, we just went through this with Lexi Smith. Just a few days ago, we reported about the $8.1 million property that we have in Louisville that he's trying to give to a good, entrenched Democrat for $1. You know, so we've got all this tax money tied up in property that Fisher wants to give away. This appears to be nothing more than another way of doing that. The problem with this, Colonial Gardens is a dump, folks. I mean, let's face facts here. Colonial Gardens is a dump. There's not much you can do to fix this thing at a reasonable cost. It was set and to be raised and dropped to the ground and something else built in its place. But then the Historic Society, all these people got involved, and they found out that, you know, Elvis or somebody sang there one time. So they decided to make this a historical landmark. So now nobody can do anything without rehabbing it, which, of course, increases the cost of anything you do there exponentially. I mean, it's incredible how much more it costs to rehab a rundown piece of garbage, a building, because somebody decided they were going to call it a historic landmark. Now, we've got people that say they want to deal with this, but they didn't want to deal with government in the process. Metro Council President Jim King actually said something at the caucus meeting on Thursday. It's rare that I agree with Jim King on anything, especially these days. But Jim King actually did say at the caucus meeting that it might be better just to give the $400,000 to $500,000 that it's going to cost them to buy this property to a legitimate developer. That way the city doesn't have any ownership, and then they've got to try to resell it to somebody else later. I actually agree with that. Why not give $400,000 to $500,000 either through tax incentives, put it into a refurbished fund, something? You know, let's make the developer responsible for all this instead of the city being responsible for any part of it. Once we pay $430,000 to buy this, we own it. And no matter what happens, we've got liability there. So I kind of think that King may be right on that aspect. Another option he said was for the city to put $400,000 or so, you know, to invest $400,000 to shore up the property, you know, and things like that, which I don't agree with. So, you know, I like the idea of maybe putting $400,000 to $500,000 away, taking all the bids from developers, accepting the best bid for that property, you know, giving them the incentives, using that $400,000 or $500,000 incentive to help them. That way we make sure we've got a marketable property, a good property, something we can be proud of. If you're going to stick us with this piece of garbage, then we need to be able to make sure that we do the best with it we can. Just buying it just to make somebody happy doesn't make any sense to me. And, of course, you know, Jim King does have, yep, there you go, does have a relationship with the Underhills and Underhill and Associates. His banks have done business with these people. So he says he will abstain from any vote on this particular property if it comes before the council, which is the right thing to do. I guarantee you, anytime Jim King's involved, there's probably going to be some money changing hands somewhere, in my opinion. And, you know, so this isn't as innocent as it is being portrayed to be. But that doesn't make what Jim King said wrong in this particular situation. Put the $400,000 to $500,000 away. Let's see what we can do with it going forward. One of the many things that are coming out today, this is from my good friends over at Wave 3 News. For full disclosure, I'm on the Wave 3 editorial board, as most of our listeners know, our loyal listeners and people that follow this program and Louisville politics know. However, I never push Wave 3 News. I actually never promote these guys because, to me, that would be a conflict of interest. However, they did a great story that came out yesterday. Excuse me, it came out last night. It's disturbing for me because it involves JCPS schools and UofL Cardinal players. Now, why is this an issue? Well, Wave 3 is reporting that there were 12 Jefferson County public schools who broke the rules by selling autographs from UofL Cardinal players from our NCAA championship team. Apparently, there were a dozen schools that violated the policy because they allowed UofL basketball players to come onto site on a school property and sell autographs, not give them away, folks. Sell. Peyton Siva and George Idang were signing autographs for money. It's like one of those autograph signing things that you go to at the fairgrounds or something like that. Somebody comes up, you sign, you know, you give them an autograph, it's $20. In this particular case, $20 for a poster, $40 for an autograph basketball, $50 for a combo. But what makes this so disturbing, for me anyway, I know these guys played their last game in the NCAA championship game. I understand that. At that point, they're free agents. They're not tied to the NCAA rules as far as any kind of money or anything else they could get. However, You know, they signed with Jeff Shepard, apparently, is the guy who's doing this. For those of you who don't know who Jeff Shepard is, you know, Jeff Shepard has a company. He's a former basketball player himself. But Jeff Shepard has a company, and that's what they do. They go around all these different places and have these autograph signing sessions. For me, personally, I find it a sincere slap in the face to the citizens and residents of Louisville and the parents and the students themselves at these schools that were involved in this. You've got a whole community that just a couple of weeks ago, these U of L players, Peyton Sebig, Gorgui Deng, you know, Coach Rick Pitino and everybody, were thanking the community for such support. You know, without us, you know, we would have never been able to get this far. You guys have stayed with us the whole way, even downtown, blah, blah, blah. You know how those stories go. And then we go to middle schools. You know, a lot of these schools are poor schools. You know, parents don't have money. The students don't have money. And you get this peer pressure, if you will, to try to con your parents out of money to pay for an autograph. Now, we just paid for the education for these guys. They got a free education. They also got some pocket money. There's some per diem there. You know, that we can count above board. Don't tell them what we got below board, and we know how that goes. But this community stood beside them. A lot of these guys, you know, middle schools and things like that, are idolize these guys. Siva and Dang, they idolize these guys. And for me to come in and you know, create that peer pressure thing and everything else to try to pay for an autograph from these guys who have yet to go pro or sign a contract with a pro, you know, they are still part of University of Louisville, even if they're not playing games. It's kind of disturbing to me. I don't know how you guys feel about it. 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. But it's very disturbing to me that it's okay for Jeff Shepard to come in here and you know, sit here and hold these kids hostage like this. Siva, Ding, the whole U of L squad should be going to every JCPS school. They're supposedly, you know, they're these so-called, you know, leaders, and kids look up to them, they idolize them, they worship them, they're their role models. They should be going to every Louisville school right now, the JCPS system, giving away free autographs and spending time with these kids. But they don't do that. You know, Jeff Shepard, a former UK basketball player, everybody knows that, you know, called the schools that they went to directly. They bypassed all school administrators and everything else to set these sessions up. And these schools knew better than to do this, but they did it anyway. You know, according to, you know, JCPS, apparently the JCPS regional administrators through Jerry Wyman, you know, it said that, you know, all of this stuff is supposed to be approved by JCPS, blah, 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 blah. No one at the schools were aware that this violated board policy, except that same policy that says this is a violation is right on the JCPS website. So they publicized their own policy. When in doubt, check it out. I find it very disturbing, and I don't think that this reflects very well on Jeff Shepard, Peyton Siva, or Gorgui Deng. I like Siva. You know, I never thought he was the most talented basketball player in the world, but there was no denying his heart. You know, and I have a lot of respect for what he's accomplished with U of L. But I think the best thing you can accomplish in this world, if you're a role model, is to create a better model of yourself for those who look up to you. And I think in this particular case, both these guys made a bad decision. Jeff Shepard refused to let him do it for free. You know, he says once these student athletes are finished with their career, they either graduate or their eligibility is up, key here, or they declare for the NBA. They do autograph sessions around the state for a fee, and this is no different. So, you know, thanks to my good friends over at Wave 3 for bringing this story to our attention, because this is very important to me. And Eric Flack did an excellent job on it, so check it out over at Wave 3. Another thing going on in Louisville, Greg Fisher, yep, sitting here touting his own internal private audit, said that the annual financial audit of Louisville Metro government found only one reportable deficiency. It's an internal audit done by independent auditor Crow Horvath. And basically the only thing he found was that they need to improve controls and the documentation regarding low-income home energy assistance program, things like that, which basically helps people pay for heating bills in winter. Guess what? If you buy that, I've got some swampland in the middle of the Ohio River to sell you. What a crock of garbage they're trying to sell. I want Adam Edelin to go back in and do a complete audit of the entire metro government, and I promise you he's going to find more than one discrepancy. That's our state auditor, folks. He's done an excellent job finding the problems. You know, to sit here and pay for your own audit, you know, audits are going to be skewed any way you want them to come out. Jerry Abramson was very good at that, you know, until Adam Edelin got involved in this. But since merged government was created in 2003, there is an average of 31 findings a year. There is an average of 31 findings a year. For me to sit here and believe that we only had one discrepancy that was reportable is just mind-boggling. I don't buy it. There's a lot about Greg Fisher, which, as I've mentioned before, on Louisville Politics we'll be going forward with in the very near future, and you'll see exactly why I don't buy it. But don't buy this garbage. Nobody in Louisville buys this. I haven't talked to one person today who didn't laugh when they were told of that. And these are people on the inside that know. So, you know, I just pay attention to what's going on. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to switch into a little bit of overdrive, man. We're going to start hitting these national issues. Obama made a statement today. Maybe I should just pack up and go home. I agree with you, Mr. President. I wish you would. And, you know, we'll go beyond that as well. You're listening to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back. Welcome back to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network, minus Ed Martin tonight, who is out, as I said at the top of the show, you know, working that business that Barack Obama built for him, so he won't be joining us. You know, we started that show, we're getting into Louisville issues and things like that. A lot of people want me to go into more detail about the situation with Louisville Democrats, and stay tuned to LouisvillePolitics.com. That's where that information will be at. We'll have another article up this week. It'll be part five of our ongoing series. Very disturbing, very disturbing. So just stay tuned for that one. In the meantime, we've got a lot more going on. I mean, it really is. It's amazing to me how much the mainstream media ignores ignores what's really going on around the world. Before I go any further, don't forget 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 are the call-in numbers to the show. For you guys who are in the listening queue as I speak, you guys are already lined up. I appreciate it. Just hit that number one on your dial pad. We appreciate you listening. But without hitting that number, you don't know that you want to be on air. So hit that number one on dial pad. We'll get you on as soon as we can. Moving forward, you know, we've got a strange – it's not really a strange situation, God. I guess it's the same thing we've come to expect from mainstream media, a cover-up, a cover-up. We are having a constant reports all over this country of black mob violence. You heard me. We're not politically correct on this show. Of black mob violence. We've got another story out today of black mob violence that actually came out last night. Apparently at Virginia Beach, 40,000 black people showed up at Virginia Beach for a party. The local media really didn't really know how to describe the fact that 40,000 black people showed up for a party. But what was disturbing about this isn't black people showing up for a party. We're not racist here. What we are is anti-criminal, and we are pro-accountability, and we are transparency. At Virginia Beach, you had Daniel Johnson, who was one of the people who was there, started discussing what these lawbreakers were doing. Widespread chaos, danger, thefts, violence, lawlessness. As part of College Beach Week, the long story short, this guy called the police, and apparently there were 900, think about that, 900 911 emergency calls Saturday night due to this Virginia Beach thing. There were at least three shootings, three stabbings, and three robberies that they know of. All this during a four-hour period. So when Daniel Johnson called the police as one of those 900 people, the police sent two cop cars over to Virginia Beach. They just drove by. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. These guys didn't care that the police were there. They went on and did what they were going to do. And the police didn't care because they were scared to do their job. A four-hour period. Three shootings, three stabbings, and three robberies. Why is it that mainstream media refuses to put this out there? Why is it that mainstream media continues trying to automatically make everybody racist if you talk about black violence, black mobs, blacks attacking whites? That's racist. That's racist. Why does it always have to be white on black is the problem? But we have to ignore black on white or any of these other situations because we're scared we'll be called a racist. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. I don't understand how we can ignore this. Stabbings, robberies, shootings, death, destruction. If this was 40,000 people that were white down at Panama City Beach that did this, it would be all over the news. The news would have a field day with it. They wouldn't be able to let it go. Now, I understand that you get a lot of this kind of stuff going on when you get a bunch of young guys together, especially college kids, spring break. They go down, they get wild, they get crazy, whatever they do. I understand that. I was young once myself. I was that age. But there are lines that you don't cross. But the fact that mainstream media refuses to do equal reporting is disturbing. It's disturbing. You know, on Fox 43 News, they had a black woman that said fighting and lawlessness at Beach Week is nothing to worry about. It's fun. It just happens that way. It's no big deal. When people get shot, stabbed, and killed, it's a big deal. You know, we really have to think about this kind of stuff. You know, and then you got Billy Baldwin, who owns a business. He was telling his ABC affiliate, they had a fight break out in front of his business, a sandbar, I guess that's the name of his business, and a crowd busted in, broke his window. That's $1,000 per window. So now you've got property destruction. And you send two cop cars to drive by and wave to the crowd and just ignore it. I'm sorry, folks. That's not right. That's not right. And then, of course, as soon as you talk about this, you start getting the negative stuff. I'm already getting a couple of IMs at AOL, myviewmatters@AOL.com. You guys can instant message me direct there. I keep that open during the show. And I'm already getting community comments, you know, oh, this is garbage, the white kids, you act like white kids can't do this, blah, 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 blah. I'm telling you, we know white kids do this. Don't give me the racist bullshit and tell me how insulted you are. I know the white kids do this. Nobody is denying that. But the white kids are getting reported in the mainstream media so that we can try to force and maybe get a little bit of accountability to stopping that. The black kids are being ignored because you're scared of being called a racist. That's the issue. I know you young guys all screw up. I know everybody does this stupid stuff. I understand that. But don't give me the whole black, you know, is being persecuted because you point out the obvious. That's ridiculous. Most of my black friends can't stand the fact that all the racism is caused by ignoring the racist. And part of those racists, guess what, are black. Deal with it. Live with it. That's life. That's the truth. We're not going to hide that stuff. We're not going to hide this stuff here. That's not what I'm about. That's not what this thing is about. We are all about openness, transparency, and accountability. If the Virginia Beach police don't want to do their job and confront those people because they want to be, they're scared they're going to be called racist or they're scared of mob violence, then bring the National Guard in, get the troops you need to clean it up. But when you have shootings, robberies, stabbings, people get hurt. When you have businesses that are getting their windows knocked out for fun, it costs $1,000 a window to replace. It costs them money. It's going to cost them jobs. You got to spend $1,000 to replace windows because of this kind of crap. Guess what? That's somebody that ain't going to have a job. Money's got to be made up somewhere. You know, so we got to look at the big picture here and forget this, you know, there's no such thing as racism because if it happens to be a black guy. That's a joke. That's a joke. So we're going to start reporting a lot of that at LouisvillePolitics.com too, and why not? It needs to be done. Moving on. President Obama made a statement that the correspondents' dinner last Saturday night, you know, he was up there talking and wearing bangs and acting like he's some kind of a big shot. You know, well, he is, I guess. But, you know, he was in Washington today. And there was a lot of questions concerning, you know, what's going on politically and stuff. You got Syria. That's a total mess. We found out that they've been lying about the Boston bombings. You know, there was all kinds of ways to avoid that, and they did not, thanks to Barack Obama's policies. He's not, you know, we're not very sure what to do with Russia now because they're involved in this Boston bombing thing. All these other things, you know. And President Obama said, well, if you want to put it that way, maybe I should just pack up and go home. Now, he was joking, obviously, okay. You know, I know there's a lot of people that wish he wasn't joking, but he was joking. However, you know, he said it so monotone, it wasn't the natural Barack Obama, you know, who's sitting out there waiting to get the laugh and doing the things to set it up. The only time he really got excited when he was talking is when he was talking about Jason Collins. For you guys who don't know who Jason Collins is, go to HuffPost. You can read their story on this because it's actually a good. They actually describe it quite well. But you know, Jason Collins is an NBA center who decided he was going to come out of the closet and tell the whole world he's gay. I'm queer and I'm here. Congratulations, Jason, you're gay. So the whole mainstream media is going nuts. We've got to get comments from President Obama talking, you know, about how great it is that American people are accepting the gay and lesbian community and really get excited and animated because one man decided to tell the whole world he was gay. Anybody heard of Kermit Gosnell? Kermit Gosnell is an abortion doctor who is being checked out now. He is in trial for murdering live babies, performing late-term abortions, and when the babies are born live, cutting their heads off, drowning them in toilets. There's so many horror stories coming out about that, it's unreal. But mainstream media won't talk about this. They won't tell the whole world about Kermit Gosnell, what's really going on at these abortion clinics, and what's really happening when you cut a baby, a live baby's brainstem to kill them and call it abortion. It's murder. They won't talk about all of that. You just can't talk about that on the news because people might be offended. And you don't want to do anything to promote the fact that there are bad people that do that kind of work out there, because it would not fit the liberal agenda where the woman has the right to choose. But Jason Collins now, that's a big deal. One NBA player. I'm gay. And you got every news station in the whole world doing 24-hour coverage on this from every angle you can possibly imagine. Say what? This is the story? It defies logic. It really does. 858-683-1326, 502-805-0334. Don't forget, you guys are in the queue. Hit the number one. We're going to take another break. We will be right back. Listen to the Ed Springs Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springs of the My View Matters Radio Show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound.
And I'm talking about this black-on-white violence, you know, that doesn't get reported by mainstream. We're talking about the problems with the Obama administration. I mean, folks, you know, you really need to open your eyes and pay attention to everything but mainstream media. One of the biggest things going on today, thank God, is the fact that people are finally turning to the Internet and checking out alternative media sources. We're one of those sources. Our numbers are going through the roof. We're growing at a pace of between 18 and 21% each and every month. It's incredible. But thank God, because we can get those stories to bring this kind of stuff to you, because it's very important. You know, another story that a lot of people aren't really paying attention to right now is Benghazi. Nobody is paying attention to the cover-up that's been going on Benghazi with the Obama administration. You know, we now have stories out there that are bringing some more disturbing things to light. Go to the Ulsterman Report. That's one avenue. You might not like Fox News, but Fox News is still a source, whether you agree with the content or not. They're still a source. So, you know, you've got to start going to multiple sources. You can't believe one mainstream media outlet versus another. You have to check out multiple sources and try to determine which is better for you. We have a special ops Benghazi survivor, a Benghazi, I should say, I'm sorry, witnessed the attack on our mission firsthand that unfolded over in Benghazi on September 11th. He debriefed the people who took part in the response. And he spoke with Fox News' Adam Housley about the cover-up. Gave Adam Housley on Fox News Monday night information that directly contradicted what Obama was saying. Obama was telling the whole world we didn't have enough time, we didn't have resources, there was nothing we could do in Benghazi to help those employees, to help any of our operatives or anybody else who was under terrorist attack. We now know that's a lie. We know that's a lie because we have witnesses who have started coming forward and claiming whistleblower protection to talk about what really happened. We have four Americans that died, Chris Stevens, a couple of former Navy SEALs. You know, all of these people were dead for no reason. According to this source, there was a C-110 that was doing a training exercise in Europe that was close enough to get there and respond before it went all the way downhill like it did. According to this source, the State Department had other places they could call for help that included 15 special forces, State Department security staff who were in the Libyan capital of Tripoli, right there. Those guys were supposedly trained as a quick response force. You have basically an hour travel time between Tripoli and Benghazi. Nobody went there. You know, because President Obama and Hillary Clinton decided they wanted to play games. And it cost us lives. We have not gotten the truth on Benghazi. I don't think any of us expect we will ever get the truth on Benghazi. And it's a very disturbing situation. Now we have at least four career officials at the State Department and the CIA. Yep, you heard that right. Four career officials at the State Department and the CIA who have retained lawyers because they're going to try to qualify under the whistleblower laws and give information about the Benghazi attacks to Congress. This is incredible. You don't break those ranks and you don't do those kind of things unless there's a serious cover-up going on. If you're a career official at the State Department and the CIA, they're going to break silence over this? It's very, very interesting. According to these sources, Obama administration officials have been threatening them that if they talk about Benghazi, they're going to pay for it. Those are threats. Now, what did you mean by paying for it? You know, does this mean they're going to kill you? I don't know. They're going to take your job? That's a given. You never know what this involves until you're a victim of it. Believe me, I live with these threats every day. A lot of people don't like what I do with these politicians. They get really, really scared, rightfully so. But we've got four senior officials or career officials who are scared. So they've decided to go ahead and cooperate with congressional investigators, give up classified information, and hire legal counsel to protect themselves. I think that's fantastic myself, because it's that kind of nerve, that kind of guts, that kind of balls, if you will, those kind of balls that it takes to make a difference. And that's the problem with a lot of people in Louisville, in Kentucky, in the parties, in the establishment on both sides. Everybody is scared to come forward because they're scared they might lose something. What if I lose my job? What about the hundreds of people or thousands or millions of people that are affected every day because of these decisions? What have they lost? Is my personal situation more important than anybody else in America? No, it's not. Because Americans stand together to right wrongs. Real Americans do. Unfortunately, we've gotten so many people who've gotten so selfish and only care about themselves that it allows these clowns, that we call elected politicians to have this power over them. They have become such sheep that they don't get involved. So when I see we've got four career officials, including officials at the State Department and the CIA, who are willing to risk and sacrifice their careers, their families, their retirement to do the right thing to make sure the American people really know what's going on. I've got to be honest with you. I get a warm, tingly feeling inside, and I just have to applaud them. I really did. That's just an amazing thing to me. They deserve an applause.
Well, I guess it matters.
I think this is our friend Mayo. Is this Mayo?
Yeah, it is.
How you doing, sir?
Oh, pretty good. Well, I mean, at least they're answering the question that Benghazi hearings, what Hillary said, you know, what does it matter? Well, it matters at least they're doing their job. Recently it's come out one of Hillary Clinton's own advisors tracked it down and found out where the terrorists, which they were funded by the Saudis. And then another review just a couple of days ago, I don't know if it was Freedom of Information Act, but somebody following the paper trail, and Hillary Clinton was the one directly responsible, signed off on the paperwork for lowering the security there.
Oh, that's very true. And have you noticed the one common link in everything when it comes to dealing with the Benghazi situation or any of this other stuff? Have you noticed that in just about every situation that we run into, when we run into the government dropping the ball, if you will, or the terrorist acts that are going on, for some reason or another, it always comes back to the Saudis, doesn't it?
Yeah, Saudi money involved.
There you go. That's exactly it. And, you know, that's the thing. We know the Saudis are filled with terrorists. We know that the Saudis allow al-Qaeda and everybody else to come in and set up anything they want to. We turn a blind eye intentionally for what we perceive to be cheap oil, but there's nothing cheap about the oil we get from the Saudis. So, I just find it fascinating that the American people are so blind and so dumbed down today that they'll sit here and argue over abortions, marriage equality, all the other crap, but not really pay attention to what's going on right underneath their nose.
To me, that's NIMBY.
Yeah, you know, not in my backyard, exactly. You know, and here we've got, you know, an eyewitness, a special ops eyewitness, who watched the attack on Benghazi, knows there was a cover-up going forward. We've got four people, including State Department officials and a CIA, who are going to go forward to get us the truth. What do you think about that? This is fantastic, is it not?
I think it's great because, I mean, at one point, the C-130 story, that proves false because the two SEALs, they tried to, Obama, Clinton, whoever tried excusing, saying, oh, we didn't want to fire into a crowd. Well, the thing is, they had smart munitions, and the two SEALs were lasing the targets.
Oh, yeah, they had already painted a target well in advance of the smart munitions going in and bombing the stuff up. They had already painted it very, very well. There was no way to miss, if you will, using today's laser technology. And, you know, it's really fascinating. We don't mind using that same technology in any other situation. We've never cared about civilian casualties, obviously. Look at Afghanistan and Iraq. You know, this administration doesn't care about the casualties at all. To me, this administration wanted these people dead, or at least Chris Stevens dead, for a reason. I don't know what that reason is. That sounds conspiracy theory, I know. But you don't sacrifice American lives for no reason.
No. Well, how is it? I mean, that's what kills me. If a Republican presents facts and figures to a liberal or Democrat's opinion, you know, they don't care. You know, it's hate speech or et cetera. Like you was talking about that, you know, what happened in Virginia, the FBI release of, shootings, black on black shootings is 98% of all, African-American deaths is, caused black on black.
But you can't say that either because that's not PC. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You look at all this play, and it's like John Kerry on Benghazi. The Obama administration continues telling the whole world that they've told everything there is to tell about Benghazi. Yeah, right. They lied in the beginning, tried to blame this on some kind of BS movie that nobody ever saw. They did all these other crazy things, lying, trying to cover their butt because Hillary Clinton created this mess, kept this mess with the full approval of Barack Obama. Those are the two people responsible. The blood of those four Americans are on Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's hands. And Hillary Clinton is being considered for the presidency. I think that's alarming in itself, considering what she has allowed to happen around the world. And you know, on purpose, that's the thing for me. But then you've got John Kerry sitting here talking to Committee Chairman Ed Royce out of California on April 17th. You know, and he said, if you have additional questions or you think there's some document that somehow you need, I'll work with you to try to get it and see if we can provide it. But I don't want to spend the next year coming up here talking about Benghazi. So, Senator John Kerry, it's this simple. If you don't want to spend the next year coming back and forth talking to Congress, you know, who you are accountable to, we pay your salary, we the taxpayer, we deserve information. If you don't want to spend the next year coming and talking about Benghazi, that's fine, so be it. Then open up all the documentation. Quit trying to hide behind this security crap. Open up all the documentation. Tell us the truth, and we can move on as well. You know, I mean, that's the thing, Mayo. I just don't understand the logic. And nobody's asking questions. Oh, Mayo dropped off. I guess he'll come back in a few minutes if he wants to. In the meantime, you know, we have to look at this logically, and let's look at what's going on in American soil. Let's look at the Boston bombing and the Russian al-Qaeda members who did it, the Sarnias. Thing one and thing two is what we call them. These guys were able to come in here and do what they wanted to do because we don't hold anybody responsible in this country. If you're an immigrant, legal or illegal, you've got more rights than an American citizen on U.S. soil. It's very disturbing. It's very disturbing. You want to know why? Well, let's look at this. Dokar, thing one. Dokar was thing two. There's a big stink going on because of the timing of when he was read the Miranda rights. When was he read his Miranda rights? There are people who are upset. Mayo was back. Welcome back, Mayo. What do you have on your mind?
Just going with what you're saying now, you trace it back. The mother was caught. Mm-hmm. I want to say KGB. I think it's FSB now. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. In Russia, their new secret
right.
service.
It is.
But they, you know, on a wiretap and caught her talking with terrorists about actions. I mean, she fled mm-hmm. the country because of theft of about $1,700 worth of merchandise and had two larceny and something charges against her.
Right, and all this while she wasn't legal. Right.
And it's how can, you know, what kills me, the biggest thing is with all this technology, the thing one, you know, the older brother's picture is in the FBI's database, and they can't, you know, the picture's released, and they don't even have a clue who this guy is.
Well, you know, and I agree with you there. I mean, Tamerlan is the older brother. He's thing one. You know, but thing one was already on the terrorism watch list and everything else. And nobody cared. He had talked about jihad with his mom. A lot of people believed that they had planned this together, and nobody cared. Dokar, thing two, the younger brother, you know, now we are being chastised because he went under 16 hours of questioning before he was read his Miranda rights.
Well,
he
to
told
me, he committed an act of war. It wasn't he mm-hmm. stabbed one person or robbed a liquor store and shot one person. I mean, if you plant a bomb, to me, I don't know what the law is. That is an act of war that automatically classifies you as a terrorist, and therefore, if you do an act of war, my opinion, then you just lost your rights. You get no Miranda
rights because you
attacked and killed so many innocents.
And we actually allow for that. We allow exceptions to Miranda in this particular case for up to 48 hours. You can question a suspect for up to 48 hours before you have to read them the Miranda. So we allow for exactly what you're talking about by the law. That's what the legal exception is for situations like this. But he faced 16 hours of questioning before he was given his Miranda rights. And what's really fascinating is the U.S. Department of Justice and Eric Holder sent a judge and other officials to his hospital room, forced them to stop questioning, and then read him his Miranda. And then, of course, from that point on, he refused to answer any questions. This came directly from White House.
Well, who sent Holder?
This came direct from the White House. Now, in the first 16 hours of testimony, he told the investigators of his role in the bombings, everything that he had done. He was giving them all kinds of good information that they could use. And that's why Eric Holder sent somebody over to shut him up. I honestly don't believe these two brothers acted alone. I believe they were in some sort of a conspiracy together, and it's going to take some people out. I really do. And what's really fascinating is, you know, now everybody is in an uproar. Civil liberties advocates, the ACLU and all these guys are freaking out because this guy answered questions without having his Miranda read to him, even though, you know, they followed the law. They were within the 48-hour window that they were allowed. Okay? And Hina Shamsi of the ACLU says that Miranda rights are an incredibly important civil liberty safeguard. The public safety exception must be read narrowly. And that's what they qualified questioning this guy on, was public safety exception. Obviously, this involved public safety. What's fascinating is a million people in Boston were forced into a lockdown, were forcibly removed from their homes, and patted down and treated like suspects. They've never had a Miranda right read. They weren't allowed the same civil liberties that Dokar is being allowed. The guy who admitted bombing the Boston Marathon has more rights than the million citizens who were victimized by him. That is what the alarming thing is. How come the American people aren't taken to the streets in an uproar? That's bothering the hell out of me. Let's go to the lines. Andy, how are you, sir?
Hey, man. No way. How you guys doing?
Doing great, my brother. How are you?
I was thinking about that today. I'm out here messing with this truck I got, and I'm so tired of hearing about these bombers because, you know, what was it, last week, a week before last, they showed the Central Park Five. I know mm-hmm. you remember them
mm-hmm.
from the 80s. Now, you're talking about some young men had their rights trampled on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I just know what I went through with the police, just, you know, just being Joe average black guy, okay? And I'm thinking, y'all, they bent it over backwards to kiss this guy's ass. And he's a citizen, naturalized citizen, but citizen nonetheless. I was born and raised here. And can't, I mean, how much money have they spent on this guy's defense team?
It's ungodly what they're spending on this guy's defense team. I mean, they're bringing in everybody and their brother.
I mean, I'm telling you right now, they would lock my big black ass up and throw away the key, and I mean, never to be heard from again. And I just, you know, I mean, you know, and like I said, I'm not an actively racist guy, but you catch me in a bad moment, this kid could spark some racist behavior in me.
Sure.
What are we saying? What are you saying to people that have been born and raised here and don't get this level of legal protection?
You know, that's a great question. That's an excellent question, Andy, and that's exactly the whole point, because here we've got a guy who has fully admitted to trying to kill people through bombs, a terrorist, fully admitted to being a terrorist, and everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
well,
if we've got it.
You flown in here. A terrorist is a terrorist, right?
Exactly, sure. And he also admitted that he and his brother were headed to New York because they were going to place some more bombs in Times Square and kill more people. That's where you bring in this public safety exemption at. You know, that's where the exception has to be read at. But then you go to the ACLU, you get this Hina Shamsi. She's a joke. I mean, she really is. She's the director of the ACLU's National Security Project. This one, ACLU, was people. They have their own agenda that doesn't have one damn thing to do with civil rights or civil liberties. It has to do with padding their pockets and making money and claiming that they're doing something for the American people. Shamsi is the director of the ACLU's National Security Project. Okay? That's what she does. Basically, this project is supposed to ensure the U.S. national security policies and practices are consistent with the Constitution, civil liberties, and human rights. Now, let me ask you this. A million people in Boston were forced to stay in their homes just so they could be forcibly removed at gunpoint by SWAT teams, Boston police, and FBI. All right? Sit you know, pulled out of their damn houses, given to a team that basically raped them or sexually assaulted them by feeling every daggone cavity on their body to make sure they didn't have weapons. They were treated like daggone bombers. Where was their civil rights? Where were their human rights? How was that consistent with the Constitution? And why isn't the ACLU standing up in arms over the lockdown for those million people instead of spending their time trying to make a big issue out of an entire terror?
Well, I'm
like
getting
me.
That too, Ed.
You know, it's amazing to me. Go ahead, Bill.
No, I just said, I mean, what gets me is this isn't the first time Holder's been called out. I mean, y'all remember when the FBI was getting ready to take all the computers, filing cabinets, and everything from Acorn. Well, we know Obama sent him on that because Obama was directly tied to Acorn. But what the deeper question to me is, who has the power to tell Obama to send Holder?
Who has power what?
You know, in this instance, who has the power to tell Obama to send Holder? We know that Obama or, you know, the White House had to send Holder, you know, to, you know, thing number two. But who's the man behind the curtain that told Obama or whoever at the White House to send Holder?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a damn good question because that is the whole thing right now. Who is really pulling the strings here? You know, this is an organized cover-up, folks. There's no other way around this. You know, and we continue going down this road. You've got Acorn. You've got Benghazi. You've got the Boston Marathon. You've got Fast and Furious. Anything and everything that's going to come back to this president and his administration gets covered up, classified, and put off limits. And every bit of these things come back to corruption and illegal behavior that they are covering up. Visibly, noticeably, in your face, and nobody is doing anything about it. It's crazy.
Well, going
Andy.
With...
Go ahead, Mayo.
Well, I was going to say, going with what you were saying about American rights, I mean, the sequester, Obama brought it on himself, but he's getting close to impeachable because with what he's done with the FAA and TSA, one recent big talk show host went to the airport, and they only had for like 600 to 900 Americans arriving off flights, 3 TSA agents for customs, whereas Saudi and Middle East and everything else had 12-14 TSA agents take care of like 20 people.
Well, you know, the Saudis, let's face facts here, Obama has committed enough impeachable offenses that it defies logic the process hasn't started. But then again, it doesn't. Because the Senate is not going to impeach President Obama. The Republicans screwed up back in the 90s, and they screwed up bad when they went after Bill Clinton for a blowjob. That's essentially what it boils down to. When the Republicans went after Bill Clinton for a blowjob, tried to impeach this president for getting a blowjob, which had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with his job, they set the tone of personal behavior. Now, you can't go after Barack Obama, because if you go after Barack Obama, it's going to be called retaliation, and he's going to beat it. And if you did impeach Barack Obama, Bill Clinton was impeached, folks. He was just never removed. And if you did impeach Barack Obama, he's not going to be removed from office, so nothing's really going to change anyway. No, the real deal is here is why the American people aren't demanding it. That's the real problem. Why are the American people not demanding it? You know, he's done enough to get impeached. He just made the Saudis gave them favored traveler status. We haven't even given that status to France and Germany, who have been trying for years to get that status. Why is that?
I guess money talks and cheap oil.
You betcha. That's exactly what it is. There is a deal with the Saudis that is very disturbing. There's a deal with this administration that is very disturbing. And for some reason or another, our politicians don't have the balls, the guts to do their job and hold him accountable. Now, I'm not talking about Republicans. Republicans would love nothing better than to jump at it. They really would. They would love nothing better to jump at it. Not because of any great, mindset to try to right it wrong and to do the right thing. They would love to jump at it, turn it into party politics, and make it a partisan situation, thinking it was going to help them get reelected. They could care less about the altruistic motives of doing the right thing. So don't think that I'm giving Republicans credit. I'm not. They're part of the uniform.
Well, here's, kind of a question, and it kind of goes with what you were talking about earlier with what happened at Virginia. And I'd like for Andy to chime up his thoughts on this, but is it – and for lack of a better term, white guilt. Oh, he's a black president. I don't want to be seen as the bad guy going after him, even if he's breaking the law. Is that why Republicans are holding back?
Remind me.
The Virginia Beach incident, where we had 40,000 black people show up in Virginia Beach, raise all kinds of hell, started destroying property, three stabbings, three shootings, robberies, all kinds of stuff, and mainstream media covered up and won't talk about it.
Are you talking about what they do every year, that black motorcycle
right.
rally in Virginia?
Right.
Oh, okay.
What do you say, right? And we've lost Andy. For some reason, we lost his feed. I'll put him in the queue. Hopefully, he'll get back on. But, you know, it is amazing when you get into that. But here's the problem, folks. We have got inside reports of mainstream media manipulating the news. If you've never heard of this name, remember this name, Amber Lyon. Amber Lyon is an award-winning journalist who used to work for CNN. She claims, and now remember, this is an award-winning journalist. She claims that she was ordered to change stories, report fake stories, delete any unfriendly stories against the Obama administration. She was ordered to fix stories in specific manners so that it would fit the liberal and left-wing agenda. And the CNN is paid by foreign and domestic government agencies for specific content. There's a mainstream news station right there that is involved in covering up everything because they get paid by the administration to do so. We've got an insider, an award-winning journalist. We're not talking about somebody who's just causing trouble to cause trouble. This is an award-winning journalist, okay, that tells us these things. Amber Lyon is a three-time Emmy-winning investigative journalist and photographer. And she calls her old boss CNN fake news. She won't even work for the mainstream news anymore. And it's because of situations like this. So we know what the problem is. How do we get it to correct it? Andy, you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back with you. I'm sorry.
Oh, there you are.
Now,
okay.
Like I said, I don't know where I left off. But like I said, Black Biker Week goes on every year. And matter of fact, they got a website. You can go Google it, Black Biker
right.
Week, and it'll come up.
Right.
But as far as, I mean, it's always some foolishness that goes on down there. Hell, I mean, like I said, that stuff that happened here in Louisville, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Down on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
When them guys from Cincinnati came down here and stabbed, you know, that wasn't a local beef. That beef came down from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So, you know.
We're actually importing murderers, yeah.
Yeah. I mean. I don't know. Like I said, I just, you know, I mean, hell, I'm surprised. I'm quite sure Barack knows about Black Biker Week, but I doubt very seriously he's ever attended. Or if he did, he would denounce it now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah,
this is called College Beach Week is what it's called there. You know, but it's really interesting because, you know, and I already got some comments at the beginning of the show in an instant message that I was being racist, you know, because, you know, the fact is nobody says that white kids don't do the same damn thing. But white kids
right.
are reported on. That's the only issue that I ever have. You know, the mainstream media is creating this myth that white people are racist if they say anything about black people, or if black people are portrayed in the news the same way that they're willing to portray everybody else. It's a matter of equality
yeah.
and fairness. That's what drives me nuts. And that's one of the things with this story going forward.
Now,
you know,
they
guys,
have
I'm
a situation
Do what?
Down there, and they call it Black Great Week that the cops went crazy on about, I would say, about seven to 10 years ago. They tear gassed a bunch of people. I mean, they literally started a riot down there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you have the same problem every year in Atlanta as well. Atlanta has their own thing
yeah.
going on down there as well. So, you know,
they shut that thing down. They shut Freaknik down.
Right.
They did shut
Freaknik down. You're right. They did. But that was because it escalated into such a violent situation as this is going
mm-hmm.
on in Virginia Beach and as we had going on with Derby Festivals down on Broadway. They started
right.
escalating situations that were, you know, people were getting hurt. You can go out and have
sure.
fun, but when you start shooting, when you start stabbing, when you start killing, when you start destroying property, you prove the lawlessness. We can't have that. That's not a civilized society. You know, so I understand all the things they're wanting to do, but I'm still constantly pissed and amazed that mainstream media refuses to air anything that may be black on white or black violence. Because
well,
to me,
you know,
it does a disservice.
Huh? I want to ask you something. Did you know that they finally, BRD picked up the Louisville defendant was talking about the black politicians today?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did you know that?
I know. I heard something about it. I've not looked into that yet.
Yeah. We talked about it last week.
We talked a little bit about it on air, but I haven't read everything you're talking about yet, no.
Well, it's not a whole bunch to read, but the thing is that the initial conversation, the initial newspaper was put out almost a month ago, March 18th. And then they came back with a reprint because they didn't put the poll in it. So it's just interesting how all of a sudden this just happened today.
Oh yeah. Well, that's typical, but that's very typical, because now it's over a month later. You know, any kind of backlash that would have started if they'd handled this fresh would have been dead by now. So most people just aren't paying attention anymore. You know, dodge, deflect, deny, and hide. I mean, that's the way it is. I'm out of time, guys. Thanks so much for the call, Andy and Mayo. I really appreciate it. Bottom line, folks, we cover so many things here at MVM Radio and at LouisvillePolitics.com. And it's become quite disturbing. It really has. You know, it's one thing to report the news. It's one thing to do the investigative reporting that I personally do. It's another thing to go out and file charges and hold elected people accountable, which I do every day. You know, but what's disturbing is no one is jumping up and standing up. The things that I outline at LouisvillePolitics.com every day are unbelievable. The Democratic network is incredible. The people who know what's going on in this city have been abused by these so-called elected leaders are the very ones who could put an end to all of this overnight. If I could just get my sources together, every one of these two people who call me and give me these pieces of the puzzle, stand with me and help me find a direction to find everything that I need. Most of these people are insiders. They're next to these thugs, these slugs, and these criminals that run our government. If I could get them to stand together as a group, you're talking about possibly hundreds of people standing together as one group, going public with everything they know. We could shut this city down in Louisville and set the stage for the rest of this nation to stand up and be recognized. But instead, what you do is you use some little guy like me. I suffer every day for what I do. I lose business. I lose money. I've lost the ability to provide for my family to a standard of living that they're used to. Because I finally got sick of it and said I'm going to stand up. There's a price to pay. I'm not bitching, moaning, groaning. I don't have to get over it. I'm way over it. But I'm trying to let you know what we have to go through when people stand up. There is a price to pay when you do that individually. Now, I knew going into what I'm doing that I was going to be used by these people to be their voice. Never had a problem with that. I still don't today. Somebody has to. But it amazes me that so many people have so much knowledge and information that if they would just come together as one group, there is power in numbers, there is power in knowledge. If we could get one group of these people together, we could make the changes literally overnight that need to be made to get us back to being a community in this great country of the United States of America. We could start with Louisville and set the standard for the rest of the nation. In fact, for the rest of the world, to some degree. If people would get off their asses and get involved. And that's all I'm telling you folks. You don't like what I say, that's fine. Research it. Make your own opinions. Get all of the information. And once you get all of the information, you're going to realize that I'm right. And because I'm right, that's why they're scared. That's why they're making phone calls trying to shut the dogs down, because they don't know where my sources are at right now. It scares the hell out of the powers that be. And I love that. I love that. Because they should be scared. But I'm involved. I'm doing it. The question is, why aren't you? Get off your ass. Get involved. Make a difference. Don't talk the talk. Start walking the walk. Because we could get things done a lot better, a lot faster, if we would just stand together for full accountability from this thing we call the Uniparty. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Dale the Truth will be here as usual. And, of course, Thursday night you have the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. And our good friend Kim Molman with Liberty Unbridled on Sunday night. Again, all shows are 7 o'clock. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate you, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Take care.
Give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why.
Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle.